Out of God, through God and for God is all, by Peter Fadima. Here is a brief presentation of seven topics and scripture texts which explain the ultimate purpose for which God has created the universe. It is primarily from the pen of the Apostle Paul that we have these absolute declarations concerning God's wonderful objective to become all in all. 1 Cor 15:28c. In Cor 1:25, Paul tells us that he was granted to complete the Word of God. We cannot find the complete picture of God's purpose in the other parts of Scripture. For us to properly appreciate God's beneficial aim for His creation, we must rightly divide the Word of God as we are admonished to do in 2 Tim 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the Word of truth. This basically means that it is required to properly distinguish between God's dealings with Israel, where it is shown that humanity in the flesh cannot please God, and His dealings with the nations, where it is shown what He will eventually accomplish, through Christ Jesus, for those on the earth and those in the heavens. Cf. Cor 1:20. It will be helpful to briefly consider the following seven very important topics. 1. God created all. 2. God operates all. 3. God will justify all. 4. God will reconcile all. 5. God will save all. 6. God will vivify all. 7. God will subject all. God created all. For many, it is difficult to accept that God created all, including the evil, as well as the good. Yet, such is what Scripture tells us. This makes itself evident that God needs both, evil and good, to achieve His goal, in order to become all in all. The following three texts show us that all is created out of God. Seeing that out of Him and through Him and for Him is all, to Him be the glory for the eons. Amen. Rom 1:36. Concordant Literal Version. Nevertheless, for us there is one God, the Father, out of whom all is, 1 Cor 8:6. CLV, I form the light, and create darkness, I make peace, and create evil, I the Lord do all these things, Isaiah 45:7. God operates all. That God operates all is of great comfort to us, for this, in itself, is assurance that our God, who is love, will operate all to His glory and for our well-being. Everything and everybody depends on God's operations, as the following texts show. Moreover, from the eon I am He, and there is no rescuing from my hand. I will contrive, and who will reverse it? Isaiah 43:13. In Him in whom our lot was cast also, being designated beforehand according to the purpose of the One who is operating all in accord with the counsel of His will, Ephesians 1:11. Seeing that out of Him and through Him and for Him is all, to Him be the glory for the eons. Amen. Rom 1:36. God will justify all. A very important part of God's operation is that He will justify all. In ourselves we are sinners, but through the suffering and death of Christ on the cross, God will grant to all His righteousness. The following scriptures testify to this glorious truth. Yet now, apart from law, a righteousness of God is manifested. A righteousness of God through Jesus Christ's faith, for all, and on all who are believing, for there is no distinction, Rom 3:21-22. For the love of Christ is constraining us, judging this, that, if one died for the sake of all, consequently all died. 2 Cor 5:14. One who dies has been justified from sin, Rom 6:7. Consequently, then, as it was through one offence for all mankind for condemnation, thus also it is through one just award for all mankind for life's justifying, Rom 5:18. God will reconcile all. Besides justifying all, God will reconcile all. Reconciliation brings us into a much closer relationship to God than justification alone, because it completely removes any feelings of enmity and estrangement. This powerful declaration is of great comfort and encouragement to us. The scope of reconciliation is universal, as the following text clearly states: "And through him, Christ, to reconcile all to him, God, making peace through the blood of his cross, through him, whether those on the earth or those in the heavens." Col. 1:20. God will save all. The salvation of all is a blessing that belongs inseparably with the justification and reconciliation of all. It is a vital part of the great objective which God, our Father, accomplishes through his Son, Christ Jesus. Faithful is the saying, and worthy of all welcome, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. 1 Tim 1:15. It does not say that Jesus came into the world to try to save sinners, or to give sinners a chance to be saved. No, he came to save sinners, and he will accomplish it most perfectly. For this is ideal and welcome in the sight of our Savior, God, who wills that all mankind be saved and come into a realization of the truth. 1 Tim 2:3-4. If God wills something, who can hinder? Cp. Isa 43:13, Eph 1:11. Faithful is the saying and worthy of all welcome, for this are we toiling and being reproached, that we rely on the living God, who is the Savior of all mankind, especially of believers. These things be charging and teaching. 1 Tim 4:9-11. In verse 10 it does not say exclusively, but especially. Yes, believers do have a special salvation, but salvation is not exclusively theirs alone. God's plan and purpose includes the salvation of all mankind, for God wills all mankind to be saved. Cf. 1 Tim 2:4. Why do Christian churches, in general, not charge and teach this, as Scripture admonishes it to be done? 1 Tim 4:11. And he, Christ, is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours, believers, only, but also for the whole world. 1 John 2:2. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. Once more, we have the assurance that Christ Jesus is the Savior of the world. It does not say that he is merely the potential or possible Savior of the world. No, these scriptural statements are positive and straightforward, full of good news. God will vivify all. To everyone, God will give life that is beyond the reach of death, life that is immortal and incorruptible, full of joy and glory. How marvelous that vivification is clearly stated in the Scriptures. For even as, in Adam, all are dying, thus also, in Christ, shall all be vivified. 1 Cor. 1:5-22. Thus it is written also, the first man, Adam, became a living soul, the last Adam a vivifying spirit. 1 Cor. 1:5-45. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. 1 Cor. 1:5-26. God will subject all. Wholehearted, loving subjection to God is the proper, normal, natural, and agreeable relationship of the creature to his Creator. Any other relationship would be contrary to God's glory and our well-being. The following scriptures indicate the importance and reality of such a future relationship. Now, whenever all may be subjected to him, then the Son himself also shall be subjected to him who subjects all to him, that God may be all in all. 1 Cor. 1:5-28. Please notice that all these absolute scriptural declarations led to the grand climax that God may be all in all. 1 Cor. 1:5-28c. Now, already, unknown to most, it is profoundly true that in him, God, we live, and move, and have our being. Acts 17:28. At the consummation of the eons, this will be one of the greatest and most wonderful truths of which we will, then, be deeply conscious, and in which we will wholeheartedly rejoice and exult, for all eternity. Not until then, does life and true living begin, for all. This is the wonderful consequence and deep significance of God becoming all in all. In the meantime, a full, scripturally based knowledge that all is for God, 1 Cor 8:6, Rom 11:36, is the most powerful and potent medicine ever provided for sorrowing and dying humanity. To the living God, who is the Savior of all mankind, out of whom and through whom and for whom is all, to Him be all the glory. Concordant Publishing Concern. Return to Main. Index page.